Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore. Jake Barnett has the week off, but I am here flying solo for your WWE SmackDown audio review. Jake and I usually get together every Saturday to do this show for you. We look at what happened on the SmackDown show that week, talk about other things that are happening in WWE. But it's not the only audio that's produced here on the site each and every week. Jake and I do this on Saturdays, but Jason Powell does a WWE Raw review on Monday nights. Usually Will Pruitt does a TNA Impact audio review. This week he was off, so Jason Powell took care of that. That's usually posted on Fridays. Will and Jake get together every week for the .NET Countdown, where they look at the best and the worst in professional wrestling. Jason does a Q&A audio on Fridays, where he answers both wrestling and non-wrestling questions alike. And Jason and I get together every Thursday for our flagship show. We call it .NET Weekly. Look at all the news of the week, often break news that hasn't made its way to the site yet. This week we had a little fun with it, combined .NET Weekly along with Q&A. It's a slow news week, of course, because of the holidays. And so we had a lot of fun answering questions as well as talking about the news of the week. You can hear that audio along with all the audio we produce for you each week simply by becoming a .NET member. And in addition to all that audio, you'll get access to the ad-free version of the site, the .NET member forum, and the .NET member blog section. So if it sounds like a good idea to you, and I highly recommend it, head on over to ProWrestling.net right now. Click on the right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member sign up. We will get you started just $7.50 a month. If you take the annual option, we'll knock $2 off each of those months, knock it down to $5.50 for you. And it's a great time to sign up, folks. I know I say that all the time, but this is really those times where it's not just, you know, something to say. We are heading into WrestleMania season. January 7th is the first Raw of the new year. Excuse me. And WWE has great things planned, then the anniversary show on the 14th, and it all just starts building to the Royal Rumble, where The Rock will face CM Punk for that champion, the WWE Championship, and then it's on to WrestleMania from there. So it's a great time to sign up to be a .NET member. What it's not a great time to be, though, is someone watching SmackDown. This week's SmackDown, this might be the shortest audio in history, which is impressive when you consider how much I love the sound of my own voice. It's going to be a pretty short audio this week because, quite frankly, nothing happened on SmackDown. There's not a lot to analyze this week. You know, the whole point of these audios is to you know, kind of recap what happened and then talk about it in more detail. We do the reports for the site where we, you know, do a better job of reporting what happened, or a more thorough job of doing what happened, and we analyze some stuff. And then we do, usually there's a hit list, and there is one up for this week's SmackDown from me as well, where I analyze some of the things that happened. But then we come to the audio, and it gives you an opportunity to really kind of break things out and to add more depth to what you've said in your report and in the hit list if you write one. And this week that's not the case. There just, nothing happened. There's so many things on this show that were just holding patterns that it served. SmackDown was a huge waste of time this week. It really was. It wasn't a bad show. SmackDown does this a lot of times. You'll see this during, you know, interludes like the holidays or other times for whatever reason, where they'll have a show that isn't bad. It's not like I was sitting there watching it going, oh my God, why? What did I just see? It wasn't like that in the least. But it's, you know, nothing stood out from anything else. Most things happened kind of in their own little vacuum, their own little bubble. They didn't have any relation to any greater storyline, at least that I'm aware of. And the things that did just didn't do a whole lot. So what you've got is about a show about 60-70% random, and the other 30-40%, while not random, while plugged into some semblance of a storyline, kind of screwy. And probably the screwiest thing about all of this is it appears Alberto Del Rio is a babyface again, after being a heel and running over Santa on Monday, but apologizing while being a heel and saying, you know, it wasn't his fault, he didn't mean to do that, but still it was Santa's fault. The Del Rio character has been misused so much by WWE. It's not even, like, it used to be kind of a joke. It used to be the thing you could point to and go, look at how they've misused him. And I realize there are people out there that are not fans of his. But, oh, my God, he has been so poorly used. He came in so hot. He won matches. He looked like a badass. He put out Rey Mysterio. He looked like a legitimate threat heel. And then they didn't want to pull the trigger on him with Edge and moving the title off of Edge onto him, which they should have done at WrestleMania at the very latest, but even before that, the title should have changed hands. And so he started floundering there, and then he finally got the WWE title, but it was a weak-ass run. And since then, he's just been kind of floating all over the place, sometimes used as comedic relief because of Ricardo. Other times, just kind of plugged in. He had a very lackluster feud with Sheamus. Good matches, no surprise there. Some very good matches, but a lackluster feud because his star has been damaged so much. And then they turned him babyface kind of a couple of weeks ago by having him team with people. I guess what he teamed with. Oh God, it slips my mind now. But they kind of turned him babyface, and people were cheering him. And then this week, they have him run over Santa. And so he's not a babyface anymore, and John Cena's got to beat him up. And now he's the babyface again, coming to the aid of Ricardo and facing Big Show and getting cheered from the crowd. And if you haven't had a chance yet and you read Jason's review of the SmackDown House Show in Minneapolis that was going on at the same time that SmackDown was airing, he and Ricardo played to the crowd there, were babyfaces there. I don't think they know what the hell they're doing with Del Rio at this point. It's a real mess. So he was kind of the big confusing moment of the night. I mean, he wasn't bad in anything that he did, but it doesn't make any sense what they're doing with this guy. Heel, babyface, just bouncing him around. Hell, in the past week, he's had more turns than Mr. Anderson has in TNA, and that's saying something. They've turned that guy so many times, they don't even know what to do with him. They can't even put him on TV anymore. So it's not a good time again to be Alberto Del Rio in WWE. They've just mismanaged him so much, and I don't understand what the breakdown has been. But let's go through this show again. Going to be a relatively quick audio because not a lot going on here. A lot of this stuff just kind of random, and it'll be one of those shows where I tell you what happened and go, you know, what do you want me to say? There was a match and this person won, and that was it. So, but let's get to it, shall we? We get the, well, this was taped on, December the 19th in Rochester, New York is where this was taped. There was a pretty good crowd that night, but it did seem like some of the things were piped in. Some of the cheers and the boos and the oohs and the ahs from big moves seemed a little over the top at times. So I'm pretty sure that this was a well-doctored version of SmackDown. If you were in Rochester, and I'm wrong, I apologize, but there were times when I expected sounds that I didn't get him, and other times that I thought that the reaction of the crowd was a bit over the top. So I'm willing to bet it was souped up just a little bit for WWE. We got the video recap that opened the show, teased Sheamus versus Big Show, or highlighted the Sheamus versus Big Show feud, as well as what's been going on with Dolph Ziggler and Miz. The show kind of opened cold at there. Sheamus' music hits. He comes to the ring while Josh Matthews and JBL check in on commentary. Sheamus cuts a basic promo on Big Show, puts him over. It was such a paint-by-numbers promo. I kept waiting for him to say something of meaning, and then his promo was basically over. He said it was his New Year's resolution to be the new World Heavyweight Champion, but he didn't feel like waiting for the new year, and he called out Show for a title match right then. Show made his ring entrance. He took a mic, and the crowd started booing him a little bit. He said, "Don't boo me." He asked Sheamus if Show looked, he said, "Do I look like Santa Claus?" A yes, yes, yes chant broke out. Sheamus said, "Yes, you do, only fatter." Show told him he should go be a comedian. He said that was probably his best chance to be anything because he wasn't going to get a chance at the World Championship. But Sheamus had mentioned beating Big Show in the Lumberjack Frost match on Raw, and, you know, Show brought that back up too and said, "You know, that doesn't count. I beat you when it mattered. I beat you at TLC. I beat you every time the title's been on the line. Some cheesy Christmas lumberjack match doesn't matter. I beat you when it counts, and now you've got to get to the back of the line." Sheamus said that was fine. He was here to get a title shot, but if he couldn't get one, he was damn sure going to get a fight. He snatched his shirt off. Show tried to talk him down, you know, by telling him that the title's not on the line. Calm down, the title's not on the line. Booker T comes out at that point onto the stage. Yelling for everybody to calm down, to stop. He told Sheamus, he said, "Look, Big Show's got a point. He did beat you at TLC. Show said, "Thank you," tell him he's not working, you know, he's got to get the back of the line. Booker T said, "On the other hand, Sheamus has a point because he did beat you Monday night on Raw." Show said it didn't matter. He was not facing Sheamus again because he was a loser. And he said that all the guys in the locker room were losers and wimps and has-beens and wannabes and all this other stuff, and that nobody in that locker room was worthy. Booker said that it didn't matter what Show said, Show was going to be in action. He was going to defend the title tonight. Show asked who his opponent was, and Booker said, I'm glad you asked, because here's what we're going to do. We're going to draw a name. That's right. That's how you become a number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship in WWE, folks. You get your name picked out of a damn hat. That's it. That's how you earn it. So Booker has all the locker room come out and stand behind him, and then they bring out a table with one of those ball hoppers on it. Teddy Long and Eve fight over who's going to open it up for Booker and ends up knocking it on the floor. Booker finally picks the name himself, and it is Santino Marella. Yes, Santino, the Milan Miracle Santino was going to be the guy facing Big Show. Santino starts celebrating as Big Show's laughing in the ring. Show leaves the ring, walks out, gets in Santino's face, kind of threatens him a little bit, and then walks off, leaving Santino. Well, first he was scared, but then he kind of got chesty with him. As Big Show walked away, Santino kind of flinched at him, like he used to do back in the schoolyard when the bully walked away. And that was it. We went into the first commercial break. It was terrible. Sheamus was as paint-by-numbers as I've ever heard him. It was just go out there, say this, and walk away. It had no fire behind it, no passion behind it, nothing. Just these are the things that need to be said. Big Show he seemed forced most of the time. Him saying that nobody in the locker room was worth a damn, perfectly set up. Booker T bringing out the tumbler where he could say, well, it could be anybody from the locker room. It just, the whole thing felt forced, and then it was stupid with Santino parading around and then being scared of Big Show and then, you know, giving him the whole, you know, that's right, walk away kind of move. Who wants to see that? It's just ridiculous. Even kids I realize they're such a big part of the audience, but that's what they want to see. They don't want to see somebody who's actually going to stand up to the big bad guy. They want to see this guy, but whatever. We went into commercial break. And when we came back, Primo, Epico, and Rosa were in the ring. And here's the thing. We go from, oh, we're going to try to make kids happy by having this whole thing with Santino, to Rosa half-naked shaking her ass in the ring. How do these two things, and it just gets worse from here for this match, how do these two things reconcile in WWE's mind? I just don't get it. Brodus Clay and the Funkadactyls are out next for our first match of the night. Brodus Clay squashing Primo in a minute and 14 seconds. Primo attacked him right at the bell, but it was pretty much so all Clay. Post-match, they get in, and he wins with his big splash. Post-match, they get into the girls and Brodus Clay start dancing, but Rosa gets in Clay's face, asking him, who does he think he is, and the whole typical, stereotypical Latina, who do you think you are thing going on. Brodus says, ladies, the Funkadactyl step up, kick her in the stomach, hit a double suplex, and then do double leg drops on her, but they did standing splits falling into leg drops. And one, I don't remember which one was which, but one basically went over her boobs, and the other basically went over her crotch area. And so it ended up being like the most erotic thing on WWE television since Lita's and Edge's live sex show. I mean, it's just women rubbing their crotches on another woman. The women who are rubbing their crotches are referred to as the Funkadactyls, and then what do they do? After that point, they drag Rosa from the ring and bring kids into the ring to dance with the nasty coochie drop women. What was this? So, like, it was like some surreal, I thought I was tripping. Like, I thought all those drugs I did back in the day suddenly came back, and this is what they meant. People said, you'll have flashbacks. I'm having a flashback because I just saw the most ridiculous thing on television. But no, it actually happened. I actually called somebody to make sure that that's what I saw. Not Brodus Clay's mama, but somebody. And God, it was so bad. A fast match, and then just the uncomfortableness of the leg drops. They didn't look like good leg drops. It looked like a wrestling themed porn in a lot of ways, but the clothes hadn't come off yet. It was so bad, just bad. And we go to commercial, and we come back, it's even worse. We're backstage. Sheamus is trying to teach Santino how to win. You know, he's trying to give him some pointers, and he goes, I'll teach you the brogue kick. And Santino goes, well, understand, with the Cobra and the bro kick, you'll never be WWE champion again. And Sheamus just kind of shakes his head and rolls his eyes at him. So he shows him how to do the bro kick. And what does Santino do? He tries it, And Sheamus goes, not enough, do it better, do it higher, do it stronger. And so Santino does it again, and Sheamus goes, come on, this is the Big Show, it's the World Heavyweight Championship, show me what you got. And Santino does it again, grabs the back of his leg, does like a bad, you know, when you're watching a movie or a television show, and they're filming a movie or television show within the movie or television show, and they tell someone to die, and the guy is really over the top, and everybody kind of laughs. Yeah, that sort of thing, that's what Santino did while grabbing his leg. Apparently a hamstring pull for Santino is the absolute worst thing in the history of the world, so much so that he had to do a terrible fake death scene from a movie. Just no words to describe what that was. JBL and Josh Matthews loved it. They were giggling as Road Scholars and Wade Barrett were already in the ring for our second match of the night, Road Scholars and Wade Barrett defeating Kofi Kingston and Team Hell No in about 11 minutes. A pretty good match on this one. The finish comes. The whole thing is broken down. You've got Kofi hit a crossbody on Barrett. Everything broke down. Guys flying all over the place. Kofi rolled up Barrett and probably had him beat, but Cody Rhodes slid in the ring, so Kofi broke the roll up, hit the Trouble in Paradise on Cody Rhodes, but in the process that allowed Barrett to recover and hit the Bullhammer elbow for the win. They immediately went away from it, talking about Santino's hamstring. So, you know, while it was a good match, and it got, you know, six guys together who have a feud, you know, between them, with Hell No and Rhodes Scholars over the tag titles, and then Barrett and Kingston over the Intercontinental Championship, but like, got all those guys together, and is effective to just keep them fresh in people's minds. It didn't do any damn thing. It just put them together and said, hey, don't forget these guys are together, so when we come back to them in 3 or 4 weeks, it's not going to be like, wait, why are these two wrestling? Where did that come from? They've been wrestling for weeks now, and then WWE fails to understand how that when we finally get to the Big Show showdown match, it's like, yeah, we've seen them wrestle 8 times, either even in singles or in, you know, mixed-up tag team matches. We've seen this. So while this makes sense as far as keeping it in people's minds, it does damage to them and their ability to draw money down the road, because by the time they get to the real big moment, we've already seen it a number of times, and it's just not being done well by WWE. The formula needs to change. I believe that. I don't know what the new formula is, but the formula that we're used to seeing from the Monday Night Wars, where you had to load up your television shows because the other guy was going to, has to change. There is no competition out there, and I think if WWE is going to be viable on the wrestling side in any major way, I mean, you know, they're doing well. They're always going to be making, you know, more money than I'll ever see. But if they're really going to be a powerhouse, they've got to get away from this formula they're using now, because it's killing the product. But after the match, like I said, they were talking about Santino's hamstring. They cut backstage where Booker tells Big Show that his hamstring is injured, he can't compete. Big Show's like, hey, I guess I got the night off. Booker said, not so fast. I promised a match, and I'm going to draw another name. Show whined about it not being fair. Booker picked a name. They wouldn't say who it was. As they went into commercial, when they came back, they were still arguing. Ricardo Rodriguez walks in with Teddy Long. Teddy goes, here he is. Show says, wait, this is the guy whose name you drew? And Booker says, yes. And so Big Show laughs and laughs and laughs, and he talks to Ricardo like he's a kid. You know, hey, do you want to be the world champion, Ricardo? Is that what it is? And so he puts the belt on his shoulder, and he goes, do me a favor, introduce yourself as the new champion. And Ricardo wasn't interested at first, and then Show screamed at him to do it. So Ricardo said, your winner and new champion. And he kind of looked at the belt, and he got it. And Ricardo, you know, you could see him kind of get some confidence in himself. And he started doing the big, long Ricardo, as you would expect him to do, like he does with Alberto. And Show knocked him the F out. Punched him in the face, dropped him. Booker T starts screaming at Big Show. They end up in a big screaming match. He tells Teddy Long to grab his belt. He hands it to him, and he storms off. And that was 0 for 2 at this point. Two guys picked, two guys down. Again, I understand using this to get to where they got at the end of the show with Del Rio, but why not just pick Del Rio and let it build throughout the show? I mean, like a main event type situation. Why go through all these silly things to make Big Show look like a badass? You could still do all the things that you did. Maybe not the Santino bit, but you could still have him knock out Ricardo and all those sorts of things as a threatening measure. Just so many better ways to do this than what they did. In the ring, Zack Ryder was there, followed by Antonio Cesaro for our third match of the night. Antonio Cesaro defeating Zack Ryder at 3 minutes and 27 seconds. Pretty much all Cesaro, except for Ryder, got a big hope spot, went for the broski boot, missed it, and that allowed Cesaro to hit an uppercut to the back of the head and the neutralizer for the win. Again, as I wrote in my hit list, the problem with Cesaro right now is his style does not compute well to these 3-minute matches. This match kind of dragged on. Zack Ryder is not a credible threat. They are doing Antonio Cesaro no favors each and every week on television. We get a Matthews narrated the video, the recap Miz TV from last week. We saw this at the start of the show. We saw it here. We're going to see it again in just a minute. They really liked this video because after commercial break, Miz makes his ring entrance where we once again see the video. Dolph Ziggler and his crew are out next for our fourth match of the night. Dolph Ziggler defeating The Miz in about 12 minutes. Well-wrestled match, a lot of fun in this one. Neither guy went crazy out of their way, but, you know, both guys showed their talent. Ziggler made Miz look like $1 million when he was bumping for him, and Ziggler looked competent while he was on offense as well. The finish come, Miz is gone on his big offensive run. He blows a kiss at AJ while setting up for the skull-crushing finale. AJ says something to Langston. Langston runs up the stairs and stops. Miz turns around and faces him, and that allows Ziggler to hit the zigzag from behind for the pinfall victory. Ziggler and AJ and Langston begin to leave the area when Miz gets a mic. He says, AJ, AJ, AJ. They stop and turn around and see what he had to say. Miz said it didn't matter which WWE superstar she ended up with on New Year's Eve. It was going to end with a bang. He said, Happy New Year, sweetheart, which got AJ upset. Ziggler threw down his briefcase, ran to the ring to attack Miz, but Miz was playing possum. He beats up Ziggler, tosses him from the ring, but turns around and there's Langston there with his big clubbing tackle. Miz took this really well. I mean, this was, they laid in a ooh over top of this one, it seemed like, but if somebody from Rochester told me no, the crowd really popped for that, I would believe it. Miz took that like, I mean, Miz made that look great. He flew up in the air a little bit. It was a good bump for him. And then Langston, of course, hit his finisher, whatever he's calling it, where he puts the guy on the shoulder and drops down. Poses over top of Miz. Ziggler gets in the ring. Ziggler and AJ make out for a second. AJ starts skipping as her music plays in a circle around everybody. Oh, God. The more things change, the more they stay the same, right? I like the act. I like what they're doing, but this is getting kind of old. They drop a guy. They all pose while she skips around and her music plays. Starting to get old, as was the bickering between Josh Matthews and JBL over whether or not AJ was the mastermind of what's going on with her whole group. JBL wanted to put it more on Ziggler, whereas Josh Matthews was convinced that AJ was the one who had been working a plan for some time. So I don't know where they're going with that, but that was what they argued about primarily throughout this match when they weren't calling the action. Let's see. From there, we went backstage where Booker was checking on Ricardo, who was catatonic. The doctor there said he would be fine, but there's no way he should be competing that night. Brad Maddox walks in at this point, and here, this was probably the first time, and I don't know why here, I can't really tell you what it was, but it was after this moment with Brad Maddox that I started going, you know, I get it. I get what they see in this guy. He's, and his walk to the ring kind of solidified that for me. He oozes charisma. He really does. It's very raw and unrefined and sloppy around the edges and not as effective as it could be. But if you can hone that, once he can hone that, he is going to be, he's got the real opportunity to be a big star. I you know, his in-ring skill we've seen very, very little of. He seems competent there, if nothing else. And the truth is, in WWE, and really in most of wrestling, you can just be competent in the ring and be a great talker and get over and make a lot of money. So I think this kid's got real potential. Whether he can hone that skill or not remains to be seen, but I thought he was just, like, I got it here. He was, you know, wild and out of control and all over the map a little bit, but it was so easy to see him be in a bigger role somewhere down the road. But at any rate, Maddox starts asking Booker for a shot. Booker tells him, you know, one more shot. Booker tells him to go away. He's checking on Ricardo again. Maddox gets back in his face and says, Booker, one more. I just want one more shot. Now, can you dig that? sucker. I mean, it was just the way he did it was I was just kind of shocked. I remember sitting there going, wow, I didn't expect, after the SmackDown we've had so far, I didn't expect to see anything of value here. And Maddox, there was something there. Booker said, fine, you want a shot, I'll give you one final shot. If you don't do it here, then don't show up again. I'm not playing. Maddox says, fine. He goes, and your match is next, so go on. Maddox leaves. Alberto Del Rio comes running in, checking on Ricardo. Ricardo, how are you, amigo? That sort of thing. Booker apologizes. Del Rio says, when I see Big Show, it's going to be like seeing a big fat pinata. Booker T says, tell you what, I'll give you a better idea. How about I book you in the match with Big Show tonight? Del Rio smiles, looks at Booker and says, you know what, that's perfect. He says, Ricardo, this one's for you, when he leaves the room as we went into commercial break. Again, it doesn't make sense. We draw two names, two comedy names, and then we're going to pick somebody. Why not draw his name at the first, have him do the whole Ricardo bit anyway? You know, blah, 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 blah. Or draw Ricardo's name and have him immediately give it to Del Rio, that sort of thing. And have show like, you know, don't you wish it was you? And, you know, you were the name draw. I mean, there were just so many better ways to get there that this is how they get there. It just doesn't make sense to me. And once again, Del Rio's a babyface, it looks like. So, bad stuff. We come back from commercial. Brad Maddox makes his ring entrance. He's, you know, talking, cutting a promo on the way to the ring. Again, here, I was, again, struck by the raw nature of his charisma. I hung on every word he said, and yet he was just sporadic and all over the place. Didn't seem like he had a unified plan when he went out there. If that's what he was given, then either he didn't deliver what someone had in mind, or that person who wrote that should be fired. Because it just, you know, it's like it's there, it's so close, but it's not right. But I keep getting that just unrefined, unhoned, dull, not dull, but, you know, he just needs that last little something. He needs somebody to help him focus down to a point, find his right gimmick. And I don't mean to go on and on about Maddox here, but for the first time I understand why they are so high on the guy. I really saw it tonight. But that led to our fifth match of the night. Maddox gets in the ring, knows he's going to face someone. It's Sheamus. Maddox sold it a little bit as not being happy that it was Sheamus, but not too bad. He didn't seem completely dejected. Sheamus makes his entrance and then defeats Brad Maddox in 3 minutes and 48 seconds. Maddox tries to, at the first part of the match, he tries to, you know, no, I'm leaving, and Sheamus is messing with him. Come on, don't you want a contract and that sort of thing? And sneaked in a few headlocks and whatnot from there, and then Sheamus would punk him in some way, and that kind of went on for a while until Maddox got frustrated and shoved Sheamus, you know, put both hands in his chest and pushed. That pissed Sheamus off, so Sheamus kicked the crap out of him and then beat him about 2 minutes later, like I said, for a 3 minute, 48 second, total victory. White noise and bro kick was the final combination. The weirdest thing about this match was how much JBL appreciated Sheamus kicking, Maddox's ass. I get that, you know, much like, Ross just put in his last blog, or one of his most recent blogs that Jason put up on the site, for announcers, you don't want to be a caricature all the time. The heel, just to be the heel, doesn't make sense, and the quote-unquote good guy announcer, just to be, you know, ignoring the bad guys and just putting over the good guys, doesn't make sense. You know, you have to kind of to play it fair. And so, I understand it's not such a foreign idea that JBL would do this, but it seems strange to me that they would do it with Maddox, since they seem to see a lot in Maddox and want to do something with him. To have JBL out there just going, best present I got all year was watching Sheamus beat up Brad Maddox, and he's the heel. Unless they're trying to make him babyface ultimately, and I don't know. It seemed an odd mix to me. After commercial, we got the video that had the recap from Raw, the whole Santa thing that I've bitched about earlier with Del Rio. Why you would show this while you're trying to make Del Rio look like a babyface on this show was beyond me. But hey, they don't seem to know what the hell they're doing with Del Rio either, so screw it. That went to our sixth match of the night. The Usos defeating the Primetime Players at 2 minutes and a second. I think that was the right time because we had an inside cradle that led to a victory for the Usos. Totally caught me off guard. The clock kind of ran for a second afterwards as I tried to figure out what happened. This makes zero sense to me. None whatsoever. The Primetime Players is a money act. The Usos do not appear to be. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't really know what to say here. I have no idea why they did this. But what I do know what they had an idea for doing was next. The Shield cuts one of their video promos. I have to tell you guys, I love these videos. I love the herky-jerky style of it. Roman Reigns just blows me away every time. He's not the greatest promo guy, or at least what we've seen doesn't show him as the greatest promo guy, but he's perfect for what he does. The lines they give him, what he's expected to say, he never seems corny. He never seems over the top. He never seems weak. He's nailed it every single time. And granted, it's not much, but so far he's batting 1,000. And, you know, I realize if you've only had 6 at-bats, that's less impressive than if you've had 60. But, you know, so far he's perfect. Do I expect him to continue? No, but he was the one wild card that nobody really knew anything about. Seth Rollins' promo skills have come a long way. Dean Ambrose was he was certainly the best guy in the building the first day he stepped into FCW, trainers notwithstanding. And even now on the main roster, he's probably in the top 5 talkers. He really is. I know a lot of you haven't seen much of him yet. But honest to God, he's better than John Cena, I think, on the mic. I really do. I don't think he's better than CM Punk. I don't think he's better than Paul Heyman. I don't think he's better than, oh God, I mean, he's not better than The Rock, but he's easily in the top 5. I mean, he's better than most people that you're going to see. Probably, he's not better than Triple H, I don't think. Look at the names I'm having to pull out to get better than the rookie, than the guy who just got there. These are the names I'm having to revert to compare him to, just on the microphone, not as a wrestler as a whole, but on the microphone, he's easily in the top 5. If he's not in the top 5, he's in the top 10 and closer to 5 than he is 10. He's absolutely amazing on the microphone. I've seen him a bunch of times in the indies, and for those who haven't seen him, if he continues to get more mic work, you're going to be just blown away by this kid. But they did a video where they said in 2012 they proved that they rectified. They didn't just talk about injustice in WWE, they rectified it. They said 2013 would be the year they cleanse injustice from WWE. Ambrose said they had no friends, they couldn't have any, and they didn't want them anyway. He said, believe in the Shield. Roman Reigns said it next, and that's when they put the camera down and walked away. Very effective video promo again. The believe in the Shield thing is kind of interesting. I wonder if they're going to do something with that. But I love this act. I was really concerned about this act for the longest time, but WWE has done these guys right. They really have, and it was a lot of fun. This little video in and of itself was funny. And again, I like the different way that they're shooting promos. It's NWO-esque in that it is different, not in the way it is presented. So definitely check them out if you haven't done so. Check out this video if nothing else. We cut backstage where Matt Stryker asked Big Show about facing Alberto Del Rio. Show complained about it being ridiculous, talked about how he had already had 2 guys who couldn't compete, but if Del Rio wanted to get knocked out like Ricardo, he would make it a trifecta, and he stormed off towards the ring. We went to commercial when we came back. That set up our final match of the night. Big Show defeating Alberto Del Rio by disqualification at 5 minutes and 21 seconds. Match was all Big Show for the most part. We get last minute or so, you get Del Rio making an offensive run, really working on the arm. He tried to lock in the arm breaker a couple of times. He gets real close, and Show slams him down, rolls from the ring, decides he's had enough, starts walking up the ramp. Sheamus runs down and attacks him. That causes the DQ, tries to drag Show back to the ring, but Show shoves him away and starts to make his escape. He's walking back up the ramp again when the entire locker room of losers and has-beens and wannabes and all those sorts of things came out, attacked Big Show, beat him all the way back to the ring. But Show rolled into the ring, took an enziguri kick, that step-up enziguri that Del Rio does in the corner, and then Sheamus finished up with the bro kick to send the crowd home happy and had the nice moment at the end of SmackDown. What do you say? You know, they told the story within the show, which was good. Don't get me wrong. There's certainly something to be said for that. But it didn't do anything for Sheamus and Big Show's feud. It just cast more questions about what happened with, you know, what's going on with Del Rio. Is he a babyface? Is he a heel? What the hell is he? Back and forth. You've got, And then all these kind of random matches piled in on top of that just made it for a SmackDown that was lackluster and wildly unimportant and uninspiring. And, it is what it is. So not a great show for me to talk about again, as is evidenced by the time. Jake not being here certainly shortened things up too, with only one person talking, but still, I would have been impressed if we had made it the hour even with him around. Because so many of these places that I went, what do you want me to say? Jake would have said, I don't know, what do you want me to say? It would have added 30 seconds. We would have moved on quickly. So, but yeah, that's your show for the SmackDown that aired December the 28th, 2012, the last SmackDown of the year. WWE Raw will be not live. It's being taped this weekend, this Saturday, actually, as I'm recording this in a few hours. We'll be Monday night, though, on USA. I will be covering that live for the site Monday night as we head into New Year's. Jason is going out because he has a life and I have kids. So join me Monday night for a WWE Raw. I think Jason is going to do audio on that. I don't want to swear to that, but I think that is the plan. But if so, if he does, it's going to be exclusive to our members more than likely, folks. So if you've enjoyed what you heard today, if you want to get access to all that audio we do, the .NET weeklies, the audio reviews, the Q&As, I've got several interviews lined up for after the first of the year. Don't want to name drop because it always tends to blow up in my face when I do so, but some ROH talent will be coming in after the first of the year, and some other talent from the indies that you guys might have heard of. So we got a lot of stuff planned coming in after the first of the year. It's a good time to be a .NET member with WrestleMania right around the corner. What are you waiting for? Head over to .NET right now. Just while you're listening to my voice, click on ProWrestling.net, head on over there, click where it says .NET member sign up, and become a .NET member today. I promise you, give it a 1 month try, and I promise you after that month you'll realize that you get a lot of bang for your buck. Check out the .NET member forum, the .NET member blog section, all of those things, and of course the ad-free version of the site is such a fantastic benefit. Check it all out now. Become a .NET member. Even if you don't, though, thank you for checking us out. Thank you for making us your home for wrestling news. Thank you, everyone, for your continued support of the .NET site. I will see you back here next week, probably again along with Jake Barnett, as we review WWE SmackDown. Until then, everyone, have a fantastic new year. Be very safe. Remember, don't drink and drive. And remember that there will be a lot of morons who didn't heed my advice and will be out drinking and driving, so watch out for them. Have a wonderful new year, everyone. Hope you get to kiss somebody pretty. And if not, well, then, hey, there's always next year. Everyone, take care.